Good evening and welcome to Khadija and the White Guy. I'm Keith Washburn. All right, good evening. And we've got the rookie running the board tonight. So any technical difficulties, it's Keith Washburn that's fouling it up tonight. It's my first night at the board. I've got my trusty assistant here, Mike Murphy, who usually does such a great job engineering for us. And in the studio with us, we have Dr. Robin Henderson, Kansas City Neighborhood Academy principal. So welcome, Dr. Henderson.
Thanks so much for having me this evening.
So you're from Memphis, Tennessee.
I moved here from Memphis, but originally from Indiana.
Okay. So what is it like here in Kansas City?
So far, so good. I've had a warm reception. People have been great. I'm getting around. I've been here a little over a month. So I still get excited when I can get from point A to point B without my GPS. So it's been good.
Cool. So I heard that you're meeting a lot of people going from different places and just kind of marketing the school. Can you tell us a little bit more about your campaign for marketing the school?
Sure. We're the Kansas City Neighborhood Academy, and we'll open this fall serving students in pre-K to second grade. So we're actively out recruiting families. KCNA is part of an urban neighborhood initiative strategy, and so really looking to be a part of a community revitalization and recruiting families primarily from the kind of 18th to 52nd Street between Truce and Prospect areas, but are open and available to any students that are eligible to attend KCPS schools.
Cool. This is so exciting. Anytime something new comes along in the city, I just get so excited. It's, you know, new information. And, of course, this strategy is something that's new. Can you give us a little bit of background about the strategy you guys are using?
Well, KCNA will be a school that focuses on STEAM, so science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, really trying to give students a 21st century skill starting at a young age. We'll use a project-based learning approach where really students are encouraged to ask big questions and look at the world and see themselves as problem solvers and the ability to create and change things. The school will have a really strong literacy foundation and focus so that students are prepared for the careers that will face them. The students entering kindergarten this year, the jobs that will be out there when they graduate from high school and college don't even exist yet. So we're excited to start preparing them for that.
So, I just want to give the callers an opportunity to join in on this conversation with Dr. Henderson. It's a very good topic. It's this new school opening up, KCNA, Kansas City Neighborhood Academy. I was calling it Community Academy, all kinds of things, and I'm just so glad I finally gotten it straight. But anyway, if you want to call and join in, it's 816-931-5534. Give us a call and let us know what you think about this new school. So, you told us about the strategy. Is it mimicked off of anything, or is it just something? How was it created? Where does it come from?
Yeah, so KCNA will be modeled off of Drew Charter School in Atlanta. It's one of the highest performing charters in that area that has been doing this for over a decade and getting great results. And Drew is part of a larger purpose-built communities work where it really focuses not just on the education piece, but revitalizing housing and business. And so it's a community effort to revitalize neighborhoods where the school is just one part of a focal point.
Cool. So when you talk about, I wanted to back up real quick because you said something that kind of struck me.
Before you go on, I think we have a caller on the line already. You want to take our caller?
Sure.
All right. Caller, you're on the air. Tell us your first name and what part of the city you're dialing in from.
Hello, my name is Kianta, and I am dialing in from the Kansas City, like the inner city here, living in Kansas City, Missouri. The question is that I noticed that a lot of schools come and they say that they're going to kind of take that, like she said, 18th through 52nd Street through that Truce through Prospect area. Is there going to be anything besides just science, like something that gets the kids into arts, like dance and band, dealing with music and different things for them to be able to express themselves besides just the science and mathematics? And secondly, I would like to ask the question, just knowing that it's predominantly going to be like African-American children within that range. I wanted to know, like, if you guys are going to be teaching anything as far as, like, Black history or anything dealing with, like, African-American history besides just the month of February. And those are two questions I'll have. I can take my answers off the air.
Oh, great. We appreciate you calling in tonight. Those are good questions.
Great questions.
Yeah. All right, thanks for calling in, and we'll just let you listen.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling. Yes, so the A in STEAM, a lot of times you'll hear people talk about STEM, and that's the distinctive with the STEAM. So you're absolutely right asking the question, caller, that A stands for the arts. And so we have the fortune of being in an area, right, that has a really strong music history and legacy. So we'd be remiss to not tap into those talents. And so we are looking to bring dance and music and very much a strong arts. One of the things that will be a part of our school is a very strong enrichment program. This first year, we're looking at starting that with a science technology enrichment class, but also an arts class and music this first year. And over time, we hope to add foreign language to that. We hope to add dance to that. So really capitalizing on the strength of the city and the multitude of talents that are here. So yes, there will be an arts focus. And I assume our student population right now in our recruiting efforts is predominantly African-American, and African-American history doesn't just exist in February, and part of the beauty of being a STEAM school is that there are a multitude of African-American scientists that have been woven through the tapestry of our country and our history. So we'll be looking at those things and introducing students to those people, just a part of our curriculum. It'll be woven into having diverse literature that represents scientists and mathematicians and other African-American history makers that have changed the shape of this country.
Very good answer. I couldn't be more thorough than that. So it will be primarily African-American and going to be recruiting from the area around the school, of course, right?
Yes, and we're open, obviously, to any child that's eligible to go to Kansas City Public Schools, but that is our target area. We'll provide transportation for families that live within that corridor that I mentioned, so that 18th to 52nd Truce to Prospect boundaries. So transportation will be provided for those families.
Fantastic. All right, Khadija, take it away. Let's move on. And I might want to mention, if we haven't already, school is the old Wendell Phillips Elementary School, right?
So we will be moving into the Wendell Phillips facility this summer, yes.
Well, you know, we got to get to the hard questions.
Go for it.
And when you mentioned transportation, my mind just opened up because part of the redistricting of Kansas City, Missouri schools and changing it around has a lot to do with the kids that walk within the neighborhoods. And, you know, a lot of people are questioning this school because Wendell Phillips was a neighborhood school. And those kids have to walk at least a mile before they even get on a bus. What are your thoughts about some of those kids that are going to be displaced? I have to bring it up. It's part of the conversation.
Absolutely,
so.
Absolutely. My understanding, as I said, I'm new to the area. I've heard nothing but amazing things about the team that's currently serving at Wendell Phillips. And so I suspect that families will journey with them to their new location at the Attucks Building. I think families will have a choice on how they choose and where they choose to send their students. So I think for families, what I've learned is that it really is they make choices based on what they feel are best for their children.
Where's the Attucks Building located at?
It's on Prospect, I believe, 24th and Prospect, okay. 27th.
Right across
Prospect.
From the new police lab, right?
Crime just
lab?
Down the block.
Just down the block. Okay. All right. I wanted you to go back and repeat the acronym.
Mm-hmm. STEAM.
Yeah, right. Because that kind of caught me, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking for some energy, some STEAM. So can you repeat that for us?
So science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. So I think years ago people just talked about STEM and a strong focus and need in our country to really beef up our science and mathematics and technology so that we could be competitive in the world. But I think there's a realization that we want children to be well-rounded and we want children to explore the arts and to, you know, what would our world be without the artist of the world? And so we want to tap into that, not exclude that from the curriculum.
Before I ask you another question, I'm just going to give the callers an opportunity to call in and give the number out. Once again, it's 816-931-5534.
We'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to ask, you know, the questions that are on your mind, not only about the school, but about the decisions that led up to this school and what this school is going to bring to Kansas City. I think Khadija and I are both, you know, just pretty thrilled about it. And there are also some folks in the area that aren't so thrilled about it. For instance, and let's just bring this up because, you know, a lot of people are thinking this anyway, is there are an awful lot of kids that are going to get displaced from the one school and they're going to have to go elsewhere. And nobody wanted that, right? We don't want to ever uproot kids. So I'm asking the question that I think might be on some callers' minds, even if they're not willing to call in, is what about all those kids that, you know, are now going to have to go to a different school and it's going to change their, you know, the place they're ever used to going? Dr. Henderson, what are your thoughts about that? And I realize you're just coming into this. You did not make that decision, had nothing to do with it. But, you know, just for the benefit of the folks that are listening tonight that may have a child who goes to Wendell Phillips and now they're going to have to go to a different school. You know, they're in fifth grade, let's say, you know, and they were planning on finishing it all at Wendell Phillips. And, you know, you may think of it if it was your own child. You know, how would you feel? If you didn't know the reasoning behind it, you would probably be upset.
Well, and I think the good thing is, right, that for students, they're very resilient, and the adults in the building are really what make the difference at the end of the day. And so I think, you know, for me as a parent, I would be thinking about the quality of the leadership and the team that was at the school, and that as long as those people will be surrounding my kids, then I think we can handle, you know, a year of being in a different facility. And so I think that would be the way I would think about it, right? That the decision's been made. You kind of have to deal with that. You make that decision. And for me, I would think continuity of adults and people in my child's life, not necessarily continuity of facility.
I think it's a great opportunity, to be honest, to kind of like bridge a couple of gaps. You know, you got two schools kind of like close range within about a mile, 2 miles from each other. It'd be a great time to partnership within the neighborhoods and the communities. I would love to see maybe if there is mediation needed, a mediation that happens that brings the two schools together and brings that neighborhood together, so to speak. But my question is back to the learning. Are we so far in technology that the three R's are gone, the reading, writing, and arithmetic? I mean, we don't even talk about, you know, just the standardized testing and things anymore. What is the measurement for standardized test, and how do we measure whether a person is making it on grade level, not on grade level? Because you have all these charter schools that have their own standards. What is the mechanism that's going to hold this school to a higher standard than the normal MAP testing, or what is it, the test? I don't even know what they take out. I could say Iowa Basic Skills Test.
That was so long ago. That's a long time ago.
Right?
So yeah, that's when I was in school.
Testing.
Well, the beauty of it is that charter schools are public schools, so we're held to the same standards, and our students take the exact same test that all KCPS students take. So it's great because then families can go online. We don't have any data yet, and we won't have data yet in terms of the state standardized testing, but families can go online and look up all that information about every school that's a charter or a KCPS school. And so those measurements are out there. I think for me, when I think about the learning that will happen at KCNA. We're going to have a very language rich, and literacy development will be at the core of what we do. So our plan is that by the time all of these first kindergarten, first, second graders are ready to move to the next grade level, that they'll be reading above and at least on grade level, if not beyond grade level. And so those foundational things will be in place. So then they can move from that place where we're learning to read, which is what happens in those early grades, to reading to learn, right? We get to a point where all of the reason that we read is so that we can learn and acquire new information and make informed decisions. So those are all, those foundational things are there, but it's getting kids to think beyond that, right? Beyond just a standardized test, and being prepared for, to be critical thinkers and to ask questions and to see the world and to see that they can make a difference, right? The way that we have the opportunity to look at our world and we see a problem and say, I'm empowered to change the world. And so really, it's not ever too early to give kids those opportunities. The school in Atlanta, Drew, that I mentioned, I was there for their project-based learning showcase. And their second graders had done a whole multi-unit on what's wrong with Flint. And they had studied deeply the water crisis in Flint and then had designed a project to raise money to send water to Flint. These are eight-year-olds that are feeling empowered to change the world.
Okay, if you're listening and you would like to join the conversation, you have a question for Dr. Henderson about the Kansas City Neighborhood Academy School, give us a call, 816-931-5534. So, you know, you have kids from K through second grade. Is that just to get them developed into your curriculum? Is there a way of measuring where these students are going to be when they come in the door?
So we'll start this year with pre-K to second grade. So the three-year-old pre-K, four-year-old pre-K. And that's very intentional so that we can make sure students are kindergarten ready, have a strong language foundation. You come into KCNA, which you all will both be invited to do. We would love to have you come and spend time with the students once they're there. But you'll hear a lot of conversations, right? We learn language, whether it be English or some other language, we learn it by using it. And so we really want to make sure students have a very rich speaking and listening vocabulary. So then when they're ready to begin reading, those words come more easily because they've heard them so often and they've been immersed in a strong sense of language. And so the reason for starting with pre-K to second grade is really to do that, to set a strong foundation. And then each year after that, we'll add a grade level. So this first class of second graders will eventually be the first kids to graduate from KCNA in sixth grade. So they'll be our first third graders, our first fourth graders. So really having this first year to do some really strong intentional interventions where they're needed, to do enrichment for students who are ready to be pushed beyond, and really make sure they're ready to move to the next grade level.
Is there, you have any questions before I go further? Because I could go on and on.
No, I love the conversation. I really do.
Are there any renovations happening to the building that would make it unique to the strategy that is going on?
So we will get into the building this summer and begin to look at what are the things that will need to be in place as we continue to grow. We won't use the full facility this year. So we'll be looking at ways to bring in technology and science labs and do that over time as we continue to grow. We'll be looking at how can we use gardening and what are the ways that we can impact the area around us both inside and outside of the school.
Has there been a mascot chosen?
There we go.
That is a really great question. So we don't have a mascot and we don't have school colors yet. And there's and we won't have them until we have families and we have students and we have staff. So that this isn't my decision to make, right? This is the KCNA family, the community. This is ours to create and invent and figure out. So I'm excited to see what five-year-olds come up with as potential mascots and what second graders come up with.
It will be very interesting.
It will be. It'll be a lot of fun. And so we'll have some kind of big contest and all those things.
Let's tell them to keep it on the mortal side, okay?
Yes, but they will, I mean, that's part of it, right? We're hoping to create or encourage, right? Every parent knows that your children are creative and they're adventurous long before you ever send them to us at school. So we want to continue to foster that and to grow that sense of imagination and wonder and exploration that kids just innately have. And so that's really who we want to be as a school.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, kids are curious, right? That's the way they're born, more or less. Anyway, that's the way I see it. We got about a little over 10 minutes, but now is the time to call in if you're going to call, because as we get closer to the end of the show, sometimes we can't get some folks in, and it seems like a lot of people wait until right at the end of the show. So call that number, 816-931-5534. We'd love to hear from you. Join the conversation tonight, and I just want to put in one plug before we forget it, and that is Khadija and I are going to be at a different time starting next week.
Can we say whoop, whoop? I wish I could see right now. I got confetti and all this stuff going up in the air. No, I'm just kidding, but I feel like that on the inside.
Yeah, we're very happy to be weekly on KKFI on 9 o'clock on every Thursday. So instead of Thursday evening, we'll be at the 9 o'clock a.m. slot right after Amy Goodman and the Democracy Now! Program. Mm-hmm. So that's a little change.
We'd be your morning Joe in the morning.
There you go. So be sure and call in starting next week at 9 a.m.
So can you just give us a little background about the board and what made them want to put a schools like this in place in Kansas City. What was their reasoning?
So the Urban Neighborhood Initiative is kind of the genesis for the school. And the mm-hmm. Urban Neighborhood Initiative brings business, government, community organizations all together with the purpose of increasing prosperity and to improve health, safety, and education in the Kansas City urban core. So my understanding is these folks have been at work for years kind of in that 10 neighborhood area. There's 10 different kind of communities that make up the 18th to 52nd mm-hmm. Truce to Prospect. And so collectively, those community leaders, people from across the city, my understanding, have really been digging deeply into how do we revitalize in a way that is sustainable and impactful for a community. And so they've been looking at housing development and a lot of other things besides just a school, and looked at an organization called Purpose Built Communities out of the Atlanta area, which is a part of their revitalization.
Okay.
Purpose
Built Communities.
Yep.
Okay.
And so part of a revitalization that happened there in the Eastlake community in Atlanta. And so there was housing redevelopment and a lot of other things, but part of that was also a school as kind of the anchor.
So when you say housing redevelopment, is that like working with Habitat for Humanity? Or, I mean, how does that come about? Because, you know, I'm thinking tax dollars creates education, tax dollars creates tax increment financing. So I'm thinking that way. But when I think of charter schools, I can't think that way because there's sponsors involved, right?
Well, I would say as far as how does the housing part, I'm going to encourage you all to try to get the folks from the Urban Neighborhood Initiative, because my head has been to
Urban Neighborhood Initiative as guests.
Exactly.
Note taken, okay?
because I think it is really exciting work. And I've been immersed in, you know, trying to focus on how to do the school really well, that component of it. But it's really exciting. I've had an opportunity to see the work in Atlanta, and what that looked like there was mixed income housing mm-hmm. that really was a strong revitalization.
Were these like just single family homes, or were they like units connected, or just
in Atlanta? It's an apartment complex that mm-hmm. is mixed income. I mean, it's a really nice facility that sits just across the street from the school. So that's kind of what it looked like there. I'm not sure how the full vision and what that looks like here.
Well, hey, let me tell you, it's a lot of land to play with. I pay attention. There's a lot of land to play with around here. But yeah. That might just start another controversy. We don't want to go there.
No, I'm not going there tonight.
Okay. So I want to talk about, you know, a lot of parents work and you know, they need someone to watch their kids after school. Do you guys have a before and after school program? And who is facilitating that? Is the school facilitating that, or are you partnershipping with someone?
So we will have before and after school care. So before school care will start at 6:30. We recognize families.
In the morning?
6:30 in the morning. Wow. We recognize that families have to get to work. And we want to be a school that helps families, not becomes really being in partnership with them and their family goals. So 6:30 a.m. before school care, that will be facilitated by the school. And then we'll have after school care until 6 p.m. And we're still looking into how we'll handle that. If we'll do that ourselves, or if we'll partner with some of the really strong after school care providers that already exist in the community. And we'll have, you know, breakfast, we'll have lunch provided for students. It is a charter school, so it's free. There's no tuition. There's no testing for students to get in. So families.
What about maintaining? No maintaining in certain.
No. We will be teaching and teaching well, and they will be in great shape as a result of being students at our school. And families can enroll now. Our pre-K slots are full, mm-hmm. but we do have room for about 30 kindergartners. We still have room for 50 first graders and about 50 second graders. And so I say to families, if they happen to be on waiting list at other charter schools and they're a family who's chosen a charter school as an option for their child, we encourage them to look at us as an option. They can go to our website and enroll. There are several different ways that families can get their child enrolled.
You know, a lot of people probably wouldn't bring this question up, but it's something I see all the time. Single mothers who are constantly evicted from their homes. They may start out, you know, enrolling their kids in a good school by the middle of the school year, and they can't afford the rent for whatever reason, but they're displaced. You know, does the neighborhood initiative or does the school have some kind of a mechanism within it that's going to help single parents see to it that the kids get to school? Because, you know, we're talking about 18th Street to 52nd Street on the other side of Truce. I'm just being real.
Mm-hmm.
is there some kind of initiative that is going to take place immediately to help those parents? And well, that's like a real picture of what they're going to go through, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, that's part of the reason that we will be providing transportation. And we're not saying that unless you live within those boundaries, you can't use the transportation. So a very real example I'll give, we recognize we have some families who their children are in pre-K at Operation Breakthrough, and many of them don't necessarily live in that area. But mm-hmm. if there's a need for us to have a bus stop at Operation Breakthrough, we'll have a bus stop at Operation Breakthrough. We really want to partner with families. And the nice thing is, even if a family moves somewhere else, while we can't go all over the city and provide transportation right. from everywhere, once a child is enrolled in KCNA, that even if they kind of move outside of those boundaries, again, as long as they're eligible for KCPS, then if families can get them to the school, they still have that spot in the school.
Wow. So they could, or they could get somebody to drive them over to a bus stop or whatever.
Right.
So there's a lot of different possibilities.
That's a good thing because yeah. in a lot of cases in like the Kansas City, Missouri, I don't know, do they have a choice? But I know at one point they didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. And so if you got displaced, you couldn't go to that school no more, which changes a lot for a kid because you got to meet new people. You got to start all over with a new teacher. They may not be at the same level you were. They may be ahead of you. They may be behind you. I mean, it's all kinds of sorts of things that they have to deal with, not to mention the fact that their homes are just kind of, I'm going to be off my soapbox and tell the people to call in. We got time to take another call. 816-931-5534.
You have to call in right now if you're going to get on because we've just got a little less than 5 minutes. And our guest is Dr. Robin Henderson. She is the principal at the new charter school in town. That's Kansas City Neighborhood Academy. And so this will be their first year. And am I getting this right? This year you'll be starting pre-K, kindergarten, first and second only?
Correct.
And then going to be following all them up. And, of course, they'll have third graders. They'll move on up as the next, in the coming years.
Correct.
All right. Great way to do it. And I might say, you know, what little I know about the purpose-built communities, it's been very successful. The model has been successful in many U.S. major cities. And so we should, in a way, think of ourselves as privileged to have this going on in our city.
And the beauty of it is, right, that while Purpose Built provides a framework, it really is driven by people here in the city. So that's one of the things I think I find really encouraging about it, is that there are community leaders, grassroots folks throughout the city that are really involved in this work. And I think that's, for me, a really exciting thing.
What are the classroom sizes? What are you shooting for?
20 students per classroom is our goal. So we will have three sections of kindergarten, three sections of first grade, three sections of second grade, all with 20 students in each of those classrooms. And then the pre-K classrooms will each have 20 students, so two pre-K.
So will the pre-K go all day long? Or
They're all day
long. God, people are going to be flocking at you. Did y'all hear that? Your three-year-olds can go all day long. That's amazing. Urban neighborhoods. You know, a lot of times we use that word urban and it sounds fancy. But let's just talk about what urban is. It's black neighborhoods.
And remember, we only have about a minute, so.
Well, I'm just going to give you my thoughts then. My thoughts is because of the urban communities being so blighted, I would hope that part of the neighborhood initiative would have kids working in the community gardens and working to keep the neighborhood streets clean and also working to keep the integrity of what they are a part of. So that would just be what I would hope for the school.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, Dr. Henderson? Really love that you came on this evening. And I realize, you know, you're new to Kansas City. And right away, some people have, you know, of course, people don't understand why this is happening and so forth. But overall, we should be very encouraged here, right? So
thank you all so much for having me. And please know, Kansas Cityans, is that what do we call ourselves?
Yeah, Kansas Cityans.
People in Kansas City have been absolutely wonderful to me. And so I thank you both, because I think it's a representation of how great the city and the people here are.
Well, thank you again for being our guest.
And for my co-host, Khadijah Hardaway, this is Keith Washburn. Thanks for joining Khadijah and the White Guy. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Well, hello there, Kansas City. This is Sally Downing, and you're listening to Shots in the Night, radio theater program, right here on KKFI 90.1 FM. Later in tonight's program, we're going to parody one of America's most beloved radio reality documentary series. It was broadcast on NBC Radio from 1948 to 1952. The show? This Is Your Life, the reality show in which guests were surprised by the show's host and creator, Ralph Edwards, who, while consulting his Red Book, would narrate while presenting the subject with family members, friends, and others who'd had an impact on his or her life. Tonight, Shots in the Night writer Dane Zeller gives us his take on This Is Your Life with unsuspecting guest, the fictitious congressman, Jason Seit. And you'll want to stay tuned to the very end of the show, because once again, we'll end our show with our brand new feature, The Blooper Reel, right after the show's credits. But first, let's open this evening's broadcast with a song from tonight's musical guest, Chip, and his dog, doing their rendition of an original tune entitled Folk Rap. Chip, take it away.
Hey, this is Chip, podcast episode number 743, down here I've been doing a lot of reflecting lately, and I realized I really need to branch out my musical horizons, because, you know, man, the future music is in the hip-hop. So, yeah, that's what I have here for you today. And, you know, since Dr. Dre did not respond to any of my numerous emails, I will be accompanying myself on guitar. My name is Chip, and I'm here to say that I can rock the mic in an old school way. When I was younger, I used to get beaten in a bachelor school, but I probably deserved it because I wasn't all that cool. Grow up and be a big rock star, but all I'm doing right now is tagging Neil Young's car. I guess I should probably talk about how much I get laid. Well, it's all off Craigslist and all those girls are paid. So I'm gonna be a big rap star, eat Tex-Mex and have lots of in my car. Went to your locker during classes, smashed Gosh Darn Bono's glasses. Tinder date, track request on the radio, trying to figure out I'm gonna get out of this snare. I'm just a fat, ugly American, but I dress real cool and try to act European. I'm on the mic, other MCs can't compare to me. I guess it's cause I care about gender equality. Well, I'm gonna be a big rap star, eat Tex-Mex and lots of in my car. Well, I'm a blatant consumer, cause I buy clothes, Armani on my chest, fake Gucci on my toes. If I was super rich, to feel less rich, I would move to Abu Dhabi. Since I can't afford a jet, making model airplanes is my hobby. I thought I'd boost my rep by robbing a nursing home of all their coke. I just gave 7 residents a stroke, got out on parole cause little Whitey can't do no harm. Why to make a cobra out of my parole officer's arm? I'm gonna be a big rap star, eat Tex-Mex and have lots of in my car.
Shots in the Night is proud to produce a tradition in radio theater. This is Your Life, starring Ralph Edwards.
And that's why I think we can have all the energy we want and maintain a green planet.
We are about to surprise the brilliant U.S. Congressman, Jason Seit, the war hero, servant of Southern California community, family man, and patriot. Right now, he thinks he's giving a speech to a group of his supporters. In reality, we've tricked him into addressing the members of the This Is Your Life audience. The audience has been instructed to cheer and clap as if they were a group of his supporters. Let's go in now.
You can get my views on fracking on my website, sightsvision.com. Can I help you, sir?
Do you recognize me, Jason?
Well, I sure do, Mr. Edwards. You're the host of This Is Your Life.
That's right. Jason Seit, war hero, brilliant U.S. congressman, family man, lover of country, this is your life. Yes, Jason Seit, the speech you are giving to your supporters is actually to our studio audience at This Is Your Life.
Did my campaign manager have something to do with this?
No, we left messages for about 2 weeks. He never got back to us.
Uh-oh.
Nothing to fear, Jason. Let's begin with a very important person.
Jason, do you remember when we first met? You were a know-nothing congressman trying to settle into Washington, D.C. without looking like a moron. I helped you find your office, your living quarters, the local Chipotle, and the best barbecue in town. And I taught you what Shinola is. Look at you now.
Yes, it's your old friend and mentor, a former senator from the state of Oklahoma, now president of the Midwest Natural Gas Association, Boone Coggins. Ah, Jason, it's been a long and profitable friendship between you and the Cog, as they call him in D.C.
He truly has been my mentor.
I'm here to tell you Jason Seit has a vision. I get it.
Before we get into the details of your relationship, let's hear a few words from our sponsor.
This program is being brought to you by TFA, Transfusion Airlines. We'll get you there on time or die trying. And by the Inez and Boone Coggins Environmental Fund. There is nothing more natural than natural gas. A program note. The Republican national debate to be conducted by Shots in the Night on May 5th has been canceled and replaced by a 38 caliber pistol duel between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. Tune in for all the fun and action. And now, back to This Is Your Life.
Jason Seit, you reached the halls of Congress on a brilliant campaign and then needed the help of a mentor to clear the way. Boone Coggins was that mentor.
Yes, I felt I had bitten off more than I could chew. For instance, I was besieged by lobbyists who tried to convince me about the dangers of fracking. That's when Boone stepped in, showed me some research, and helped me compose a stance that promoted the good qualities of natural gas. Did you know that when natural gas is burned, there are no carbons released?
He was just a whippersnapper, being bulldozed by those tree huggers. The least I could do was give the boy a hand.
And you did find him a place to live in a very expensive rental environment.
The young congressman had not built any nest eggs, so I helped him out. And I must say, he's a grown politician now, seeking the senatorial seat in an effort to serve his country.
And Jason Seit, you've been a helpful person throughout your life.
Jason, remember me? When my parents grounded me for getting my dress dirty, you helped me to clean it. Remember that time under the football stands? Oh, you were so sweet.
Hi, Betsy.
Yes, the former Betsy Nash, now Betsy Smith, your sweetheart in seventh grade. Bessie, Jason showed you how considerate he was early on in his young life. You were truly affected by your parents' rules, but Jason came to your rescue.
He was such a gentleman. He even wanted to wash my panties, but I told him no. That's when I found out that he was a persistent guy, too.
And that's another good quality of a person we need to lead our country. Persistence.
Jason cite, Betsy was not the only one in your circle to get in trouble with authority.
Mr. Sight, remember that time I assigned you an essay about the responsibility of voting in our country, and you turned it in with a positive in it that was not flanked by commas?
What's an appositive?
Silly me.
Please welcome Jason's 8th grade English teacher, Miss Eula Grimshaw. Miss Grimshaw, you were a task maker by all reports.
That would be task master, Mr. Edwards.
Of course. You were strict, but Jason thrived under your tutelage, having gotten his law degree in 3 years.
Incorrect, Mr. Edwards. Jason, on the campaign billboard you have on Highway 101 in Santa Monica, you end a sentence with a preposition.
I'm sorry?
Miss Grimshaw, you must understand the whirl and sway of a fast-moving campaign. A senatorial candidate may not get every detail right.
Cannot.
Bitch.
The English language is so nutty. Jason, your education has been so important to you. After these few announcements, we'll have a very close surprise guest.
TransFusion Airways invites you to fly nonstop from Los Angeles to Enid, Oklahoma, for only $49 in the blue-collar class section. $5 per check bag, $3 for purses, and $2 each wallet. Taxes not included. Oxygen mask deployment, $13 if needed. Seating is extra. A program note. Shots in the Night will present a discussion of racial issues in Kansas City on our June 2nd program. Participants will be Billy Bob Simpson, Patricia Patty O'Reilly, and Stanislaw Wozniak. Back to This Is Your Life.
Jason, I saw you in the library often during high school. You sure were doing a lot of work. I noticed your interest in Flaubert. By the way, the 3 copies of Madame Bovary had to be replaced when we couldn't restore the bees on the cover.
Please welcome Jason Seitz, Central High Librarian Priscilla Wright.
Are you kidding me?
Thank you for coming to honor our senatorial candidate. Jason sure showed some comedy wit in your library.
Well, that was only part of it. One time, I don't know if I can say these words or not, but...
Okay, Ralph, I think your audience gets it. Can we move on?
Woo-woo, you go, Jason.
Boys will be boys. On a more serious note...
Jason, remember that night in Aquaz when you received that serious head injury?
Sam?
Yes, it's Sam Ritoglado, your war buddy in Iraq. You picked up a Purple Heart on your tour of duty, and Sam was the one instrumental in getting you through the paperwork. Yes, Jason, you remember that night when you were seriously injured in the war for our freedom and our way of life. Sam stepped in and assisted you when you lost your memory and had amnesia for a short while. Explain that to us, Sam.
Mr. Edwards, you repeat yourself. Amnesia is losing one's memory.
Ralph?
Oh, yeah. Mrs. Grimshaw, you may be more comfortable over here on the couch.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Edwards. But I have a slight hearing deficit. I'll stay up here close so I can hear all the details.
Ralph, I need her gone from here.
Miss Grimshaw, we'll turn up the speakers on the stage. You'll be almost completely informed for the rest of the show.
You cannot be more complete or almost complete.
You can be a complete moron, though.
What?
As I was saying, Explain that night to us, Sam.
Well, Jason and I had just gotten back from a patrol along the Fozwaw River. They call it a river, but it didn't have any water in it. Anyway, we had been in the country for too long. We developed a routine of going to the mess hall and eating what they called food.
Honestly, even without any beers in us, we couldn't identify 90% of what we were eating.
That's for sure. Anyway, we didn't go there for the food. After dinner, they'd set up some cement blocks on one end of the tent, and then a piece of plywood over the top so we could play ping pong. And we'd drink some beer.
Yep. 1, 2, or 11 of them.
1, 2, or 11?
Well, after a few hours, Jason stood at one end of the table to return my serve, but he had lost his paddle, so he lifted the plywood to deflect my serve. It fell off the blocks. Jason stumbled forward and cracked his head open. He bled like a stuck pig. We wrapped a towel around his head, and we were so drunk, we cracked some jokes about the towel, and then stored Jason in a bunker outside the mess hall.
You didn't call a medic?
Nah, we forgot to.
Yeah, they forgot to.
It sounds like a sad story, but sometimes we got things right. There was a mortar shelling that night, and we all jumped into Jason's bunker. When it was all over, Jason was still out, and he had a serious head wound. We called the medic then.
But he got that wound in the mess hall.
Hell, we were still so drunk we couldn't count. To this day, none of us could attest to how he was injured. There was a mortar attack. Jason had a head wound. We filed the papers. He got the heart. He's my hero.
And mine, too. Anyone willing to risk his life for our country is a hero in my book.
And Jason Sight, that wasn't the only war you were in.
Jason, remember that time you cheated on me?
Edwards, you piece of crap. You invited my ex-wife to the show?
It was going to happen sometime, Jason. Your campaign manager can't bail you out on this one.
You were sweethearts in high school. Married after college, bought a bungalow in West L.A., adopted 3 rescue dogs, and were heavily involved in the Presbyterian Church and their work in Nicaragua. Please welcome the state director of the Green Party, volunteer with the ACLU, and one-time wife of Jason Sight, Sally Sight.
Ralph, you're going to need more than one attorney for this one.
Sally, when did you know you were in love with this kind and loving gentleman?
Well, we met in our junior year.
Ralph, she knew she was in love with me 1 minute after I signed the title of her house and 2 cars over to her. She got the 3 dogs.
You didn't pay any attention to any of them.
They were your dogs. I wouldn't have rescued those little scrawny poodles.
Stand your ground, Jason.
Yeah, you men stick together. At least there's one vote for you, Jason.
Edwards, you'll have to put a stop to this libelous, slandering, a bitter old woman.
Oh, Coggins, they don't call you the gas expert for nothing.
Miss Sight, in my industry, they say not to bring the fire too close to the gas.
You're threatening me?
I'm just saying that while Jason was working for the people of California in D.C., you might have been creating networks of your own while the cat was away.
Oh, you blatant moron! You don't know a gas from your...
You haven't changed your vocabulary by even one word.
Don't be looking around for your current piece, Jason. She left the room with the rest of your athletic supporters.
Judy? Judy!
You can call her till the cows come home, but that cow ain't coming home.
Now, we've gotten to know...
Hello, Jason. I remember when you were a little boy and... this is your mother speaking.
What the hell?
His mother is dead as a doorbell.
Doornail, sister.
Hey, Grimshaw, how about you shoving that dictionary...
Please, ladies.
This is your dear old auntie speaking.
He don't have an aunt. His mother was an only child, and his father was an orphan.
This is your checkout lady at the grocery store speaking. Your dry cleaner. I remember when you... This is your dog. Woof, woof. This is your conscience speaking.
Get her the hell out of here.
Security?
Ha ha! We've had quite a celebration on This Is Your Life today. We'd like to give Jason Seit, upcoming senatorial candidate, our Life Medal in recognition of his appearance on our show. It was specially manufactured by our sponsor, Transfusion Airlines, and made from used inflated exit slides. Thank you, Jason.
How nice. A remembrance of my most embarrassing event of my life.
Jason, remember me?
Someone turn that damn mic off.
I'm Summertime, your first love.
Ralph?
Remember we had a blind date on that warm Friday night? You picked me up in front of the Burger King, you know, there on Independence Avenue. I asked you if you wanted a date, and you said...
That's it, Edward. This show is over.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Another edition of This Is Your Life.
Ralph Edwards' suit provided by Jack Van Noy Tailors were any size fits. Ralph Edwards' tie donated by Amalgamated Food and Rubber Corporation. Recyclers of Fukushima nuclear power reactor parts and fabrics. This Is Your Life has been produced by Shots in the Night Productions, the radio theater that is so far off Broadway that you'll need a passport to listen. Be sure to tune in next time for the Democratic National Debate, a shouting match between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Interruptions will be managed by Sean Hannity.
And once again, please welcome to the show musical guest Chip, performing his original piece, Politician's Song. Chip, let's hear it.
I want to be a politician, even though I'm not the best. I'm slightly better than the rest. I want to be a politician. Let's start off small, better roads, safer cars. This great nation I take far. Move along with my game like I'd planned it. Raking corporation dough like a bandit. Everyone, giant tax breaks, there's no way this could be a mistake. I want to be a politician, even though I'm not the best. I'm slightly better than all the rest. I want to be a politician. Me and the NRA are gonna have a lot of fun. Gathering up little kids, give them a 2-minute head start, and see how fast they run. You won't need Medicaid. With my euthanasia program, your cares will seem to fade. Black helicopters in the sky. You can wave your problems goodbye. I want to be a politician, even though I'm not the best. I'm slightly better than the rest. I want to be a politician. Cabinet will be made up of eugenicists, monotheistic religion you won't miss. Me as your God and eternal master, we can put Jesus out to pasture. Won't even have to think about re-electing me, 'cause of the chip that controls your memory. I want to be a politician, even though I'm not the best. I'm slightly better than the rest. I want to be a politician. politician. If you want a rational president, vote for me and I'll install a logical form of government. And if you vote for me, the true world order, you will truly see.
Thank you, Chip, for that wonderful, wonderful piece of music. Appearing on the program tonight in the skit This Is Your Life, written by Dane Zeller, were Shots in the Night narrator Sally Downing. Ralph Edwards was played by Ralph Tomlinson. Jason Sight was voiced by Mark Nagy. Boone Coggins was voiced by Ron Dennis. Betsy Nash was played by Mary L. Wilkins. Miss Grimshaw was played by Roseanne Devine. Priscilla Wright was voiced by Mary Gerlt. Sally Sight was played by Mary L. Wilkins. Major Sam Ritigliano was played by Mary Gerlt. Summertime was played by Sally Downing. The sponsor role was played by Dane Zeller. Thank you for listening to Shots in the Night Radio Theater Program and for supporting your local radio station, KKFI 90.1 FM. Stay tuned for our bloopers and then join us again on May 5th at 7:30 p.m. for another exciting episode of Shots in the Night Radio Theater Program, the Hee-Haw Edition. Shots in the Night was produced by Jim and Sally Downing at IDDP Studios. For more information about the show, please visit us at our website, shotsinthenight.org. Also, like us on Facebook.
Yes, it's Sam.
Recorded live with a vacant studio audience, we present to you.
I'm sorry. It's, yes, Jason Sight, the speech you were giving to our...
God.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, Jason Sight.
The congressman had not built any egg nest, so I helped him out.
Cut.
That'd be nest egg.
What did I say?
Yeah, that's a
good one.
Whenever you're ready, Ron.
Okay. Your sweetheart in seventh grade.
Shots
of the night. We're live.
Yes, that siren you just heard.
And I noticed your interest in Flaubert.
It's Flaubert.
Flaubert.
Oh, okay.
Flaubert.
Oh, if it's a librarian, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah, they're doing it for a joke. That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, that's
what
I thought who wrote it.
Yeah, okay.
Flaubert.
Gustav Flaubert.
Okay. Flaubert. Okay, I can do the whole thing again.
Start with Jason.
And Sam was one instrumental in getting you through. Let me try that one more time. To have your medal awarded.
I left my recorder in here. So.
Oh,
No, it's out in the hallway.
Hallway, great. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
You want to go outside the door?
No, I can't.
Okay, where did we stop?
Jason, you remember that night. I think it was.
Recorded live with a vacant studio audience, we present to you.